So glad Marna is going to join us. It's because you need teamwork when you're in the teens. So this, welcome to Mom Time for the junior high and high school years. We're going to be going over that just for the next couple of weeks. And Marna so graciously has joined me, so thank you. It's really fun. We have reminiscing. If you guys have not been to all of the Mom Times or listened to them, feel free to go back. The first couple, Marna and I shared a lot about just our raising of our kids and what that was like, and just our friendship and how meaningful it was for Marna to come alongside me and show me from a biblical way what it would look like actually practically to trust in the Lord with all my heart. And, you know, your heart is with your kids. And so once you have kids, making that transfer can be really, really, you know, hard. So for this evening, we want to shift basically almost everything that we shared about in those first couple of weeks, and then now help you transfer that over to what it looks like for junior high and high school. So just looking at our notes that we had, when we initially went through pregnancy through the first year, and we visited that for a little while, a really nice scripture for you to be ruminating on during that time when you're, you know, expecting and you don't know what you're going to be having, or maybe you do, and there's so many unknowns and it can be kind of a scary time. And that was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And then also seek first his kingdom from Matthew 6, 33. Well, those things that you learn in the earlier times are the exact same things that you need to keep ruminating on and really thinking through, except in just a different degree when you have junior hires and high school, you know. So if you think about what's going on, if you make it through the first year, right, and I say that half joking, but I mean, it does feel sometimes like one of you are not going to make it through that first year of having a child, right? So most people do, thank the Lord. But I remember our pediatrician down in Southern Oregon, who had something like 70,000 babies he had helped, you know, raise, and as far as a doctor. And I know that number because he was the overseeing doctor when Joey had his surgeries that I talked to you guys about. I think I talked to you about this. one of the weeks. If you don't know about that, feel free to, you know, write in or whatever, and I'll answer the question. But so this doctor, Dr. Murdoch, with Joey's surgery, he was only 3 weeks old when he had his first surgery. And, you know, I had noticed that there was something really wrong with him from the very beginning, even in the hospital. I would feed him and immediately it was, you know, something was going on. And it just was not your normal thing. And thankfully the Lord gave me a second child that had this, not the first, because the first one, everything's new and you don't know what is happening. And so suffice it to say, I'll make that long story very short. It turned out that he had a bowel obstruction and he had to have a resection of his bowel. It was very serious and he almost died. After the surgery, I asked that doctor, Dr. Murdoch, because he kind of said to himself, had we known it was this serious, we would have flown him up to Dornbecker's. And I thought, whoa, that's kind of amazing, because, you know, it was in the morning that I had seen him as this little baby, 3 weeks old, and I just knew something was up, because he actually was not burping up, you know, milk anymore. It was bile. And so I knew there was a problem. So I remember thinking, wow, at 4 a.m., I had never expected that we would be here and my little son would be having this surgery. But I'm glad he survived. And Dr. Murdoch had said, I am too. And I asked him, what are the stats? You know, and he said, it's about 1 in 40,000 that this happens. And he said, in all my practice, which was around that number of babies, high number, thousands of babies, he'd never seen anything like it. So Joey is not 1 in a million, but 1 in 70,000. You know, he's like, but he's doing great. Obviously, you guys know. But let me tell you, the comparison of that time when, which that was stressful, it's already stressful to go through labor, and then it's stressful to have a little one, and then it's stressful to have a little one who's sick. But junior high, I would say, and high school, comparable. Because it's so out of your control, isn't it? There are so many things that are out of your control. So now, Marna, you guys know that we have been here the whole time, but maybe for some who haven't been here the whole time. So Marna and our friendship goes back 40 years, something like
yes,
that. A long time.
Long time.
So, and so sweet too that Judy and Melinda is out in the audience tonight, and we have all known each other and gleaned a lot in such a good way for a long, long, long time. So I say all that to say, in our time of friendship, sometimes we've been here in the Portland area, but sometimes Marna has been way down under in Vanuatu. So, of course, the person I need help from, right, during the junior high and high school years, where does she go? To the South Pacific. So I want you to explain yourself.
Yeah. How dare I go with my husband?
I mean, she went with her husband. Why?
He made it so fun when we came back. We had so much to talk about.
We had so much to talk about. There were huge comparisons as far as the culture and the world that my kids were facing, just like with you. And the certain things that Marna was experiencing in Vanuatu, equally back to the same scripture, trust in the Lord with all your heart. For Marna, it was more like illness and sickness, and yes, if a tiny, tiny little bug bite could turn into, oh, my son might lose his hand, you know, and you had to go through that.
Yes.
And so I guess what I'm saying is, In the end, it all comes out. We're all going to go through things that are very difficult at any point in our life, you know. And there's a sweet gal that I can't look at her because I will tear up. But to, you know, some of you have even lost a child. And there is nothing like that. Again, trust in the Lord with all your heart. For those of you who have not gone through something like that, that is when you're leaning not in your own understanding to go to that severe of a loss. And that's at any age when that would happen. But when you are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you to face a loss and then still look at God's promises and understand that he is faithful and he will deliver. And some of the other things that we had talked about in the earlier weeks was to remember who he is, to remember who God is. And Marna had shared from Isaiah, all this also comes from the Lord Almighty, wonderful in counsel and magnificent in wisdom. And I think that's where Marna and I love the idea of being able to come and talk to those of you who are here or online and just help you to understand that at no matter which place you are in life, whether it's suffering or whether it's joy or whether things come easy or things come hard. But the point is to continue to look to the Lord and understand that he is wonderful in counsel and magnificent in wisdom. He's above all things. So all of our stuff, no matter our background or how we were raised or what the present situation is for you with the kids that are in your age group, but just to know that. So hopefully that is a comfort to you. Another thing that we really wanted to stress, and I do want to make sure and remind us of just the foundation, is that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So Jesus knows our situation. He knows that you have junior hires, you know? He knows if there's going to be sickness or illness. He knows if you're going to be sick. I mean, we've known plenty of mamas who have junior high and high school age kids who then get sick, and that's really hard too, to have a chronic illness in your family. I had a stepdad who passed away when I was in junior high. So that kind of, you know, struggle is something that, I mean, many, many, many people face. So in the body of Christ, what is so beautiful is that we can come and support each other and encourage each other. And in doing that, you're here tonight, and hopefully you'll be able to glean a few things and then carry on. So Marna, why don't you tell us about what it was like when you went back to Vanuatu? Because you were here. And then you moved, and then you came back, and you were here for how many years? And then you guys all went back again.
Okay, so our first time going to Vanuatu was in 1996. Forgive me, my allergies are giving me a froggy voice, so bear with me. We went in 1996, and we thought, we weren't really sure how long we would be there, but we ended up being there just shy of a year. Because when you get there, my husband had to submit our papers for residency because we could only be there for 4 months on a tourist visa. Well, he submitted them to the Minister of Immigration, and then they do the no confidence, like they oust the Prime Minister, all the MPs had to change. That happened 3 times in our first year. So by the time they got to the third government, you know, my husband would call and say, we submitted our papers. The third government said, oh no, you've overstayed your welcome. And they pretty much booted us out. But that was you know, all of those things the Lord uses for so much good, because I, of course, was in my little piece of heaven on earth. During our years of youth ministry, they were so fruitful, and the Lord worked in our lives, and he did so much. But our husbands were gone, 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 and home to rest, and gone, gone, gone. And my life did a complete opposite change. It's like Tad was home all the time. The kids had all access to him. He would go to town. He did all the grocery shopping. I don't think I even had money in my wallet that year, and I was thrilled. He's handling it all. So as that time was looking like it was coming to an end, everything in me was resisting. No, this is for us. We're supposed to be here. Look how blessed it's been. And besides, you know, all the reasons you can come up with. And Dad said, listen, the Lord uses anything. And if it's the government sending us home, he moves us from glory to greater glory. We can rest in him and we can trust him. This isn't something we've done wrong. And even if it was something we've done wrong, he can still make good come out of it when we give it to him. So I don't know that you meant for me to go off on that, but that's what I want.
Anybody who was here maybe last week, it could have been the week before. Again, this is very ad-lib, this whole thing. So we appreciate you coming, taking your time. But some of you heard me tell you about Brooke praying for Amy to come back.
So now we know the real reason.
So Brooke's prayers, so sweet little Brookie's prayers just crushed Marna's heart.
That's taught Marna a lesson.
But again, though, trusting in the Lord with all your heart.
All my heart.
And lean not into your
understanding. Yeah. But boy, was I trying to hold on. Uh-huh. And I had a date. Tad had to fly down to the capital city because they absconded with our passports. And he had to try to go get everything straightened out. So I was just in it. We had a little two-room. It was like, the rooms were like, I think, 15 by 15, little two-room house. And I was cleaning up and getting things packed and just trying to get things ready for when they were going to send us home. And the whole entire day, I was just crying and praying and just saying, but Lord, this is ours. This is ours. And by the end of the day, he filled my heart with peace because he showed me, no, it's not. It's mine. And so he said, you have to give it to me. This is mine, and I shared it with you. And isn't that always the way? When we relinquish, our hearts have peace. It was like, yes, Lord, it is yours. Instead of trying to hold on and grab, it's like, thank you for this time that we've been here. Thank you for this incredible blessing. So all that to say, we ended up back here. The Lord opened the doors for us to be in Newburgh. And then We went to dinner at Brett and Debbie's house for Debbie's birthday. And so this would have been
1997 or something?
End of 2002, I think.
So because your birthday is in December. So we moved here in 1996.
Yes.
So was that are you talking about the second time when you came back from Vanuatu?
Well, so what I'm talking about is what got us going there the second time.
Oh, going there the second time.
We went to Brett and Debbie's house for dinner.
So for chronology, so you guys know.
Yeah.
I probably didn't say that word right. But,
right.
So they were gone. We left within a month of each other. They went down to Vanuatu, and we moved up here to Portland. So we were way not in each other's lives. And then, you know, Brooke prays. I know it's the Lord, and I know that you just review the little session.
Yes.
But Brookie's little heart so missed her friend Amy. And me as a mom who was just, I was out of options. I literally did not know how to bring Amy Slaughter here. And so I said, you know, you just should pray. And that's kind of connected to a story of now my niece's mother, who is my husband's sister and brother, Jenny, wanted a horse, right? As a little girl, Jenny wanted a horse. And Brenda, my mother-in-law, said, well, Jenny, you should pray. Not thinking that they would actually get a horse. But then they got a horse. So I remember thinking, wow, that was a really huge faith builder in those kids' lives. And so for me, to tell Brooke that, I was thinking, there's nothing I can do. So the thing she needs is her faith built. But I also was really taking a chance because I thought, man, I don't think the Slaughters are ever coming back, you know? But here Marna just shared how, because of a mistake that Tad, you know, what was happening with the government and all these things that the Lord was moving around, my daughter's faith was increased and her heart was just comforted by her sweet friend coming back. And then Marna learned things that were hard. But I wanted you, how does this pertain to junior high? Well, did you hear how Marna said she was holding on to something and she was saying, Lord, this is ours. This is ours. And the Lord said, no, it is not. It's mine, and I've shared it with you. That mindset, I think that is the only way you actually will survive raising junior high or and high schoolers. That's the only way. Actually raising any age, but there's something about the junior high age, how you can see where it can go so quickly, and you can see minor mistakes, but they're in the Lord's hands, you know? And like Marna's heart was to stay in this beautiful place, you know, and it was to have her family together, and it was to have that wholeness and to keep that. And the Lord had a different plan. And she got blessed because she trusted the Lord with that plan. And I think that's, I think, the premise of the whole thing for the junior high school age. If you haven't listened to the other weeks and kind of gotten that sort of message, but that is relinquishment. In the end, it is relinquishing your kids. By now, you have poured your time into them and you've poured, you know, your life into your kids. And you can maybe plan for a certain outcome, but I would say don't expect a certain outcome. Don't expect it. Don't hold a standard up so high. In the same way that the Slaughter family, Marna learned that maybe it wasn't right to expect to be able to stay in Vanuatu, that really to trust the Lord, that he had a whole other thing. And did you notice too how she submitted really to Tad's direction and his leadership in that, you know? And we talked about that a few weeks ago, about just that headship and the husband being the authority. And it doesn't mean that that's authoritarian, but it just means, you know, sometimes you need clear direction and you need logic and just thought through that's not based all on emotion. And Marna's sweetheart was very emotionally attached to Vanuatu for a million reasons. It's beautiful. Her family was there. There was a lot of recuperation and recovery from many, many hard years. But, and yet it wasn't where the Lord was going to have them be. So now let's go to where you came back and you were here for a few years.
Yes.
And the December story.
And the, oh, yes. So by the time we came back, it was end of May 1997. And then by October, we were in Newburgh, and Tad had taken over the church there. So then we thought, well, this is where we are for the rest of our lives. And it was so much fun because Brett and Debbie were in Sherwood. We were in Newburgh. They were here in Westland at Athey every Sunday. We were at our little church in Newburgh. And it was just so much fun because we could get together. We could get the kids together. It was just such an incredible blessing. I'll do a little aside here. Debbie has always just been so much fun. You can tell she's quite the sparkle, and she's been really, really good for me in terms of, there are times when splashes of reality are really a good thing, and there are times when we would call in, you know, our kids are in primary school, and I loved reading my kids' stories. I loved to just kind of like. I love the innocence of childhood, and I love protecting the innocence of childhood. And then she would call me about all these terrible things going on in the school district, and these kids were doing these things on the bus. And I would think, not in my world. No, I don't want this. But it was like, she said, no, we have to face these things. These things are real. This is happening. And it was like, yeah, it's true. But I just so appreciate that, because she, just that balancing was really good for me, very much very good for me. And then, of course, Tad would affirm that. Because we can, you know how some of us, we can kind of get our little world perfect and then don't bug it, please. You know? Mm-hmm. But that's not good. That creates sharp edges. So all that to say. Then we, you know, we're just in Newburgh. We're doing church. They're doing church. And we went to Brett and Debbie's house for Debbie's birthday in December of 2002. And Brett just happened to mention that the church who was overseeing Vanuatu was kind of shopping around to other churches to see if they would like to take it over. And, you know, we just went on with our conversation, but when we got in the car, we looked at each other and we just thought, what is wrong with us? We both feel like, no. Like, Vanuatu, they can't give it away, you know? So we thought, okay, we've got to pray about this, because either we're still too attached and we've got to really let it go, or maybe the Lord is doing something. And it turns out the Lord was doing something. He was beginning to knock and say, I'm going to take you back there. And we had never expected to go back. And slowly but surely, over the next few months, one thing after another would happen that was like, I think he's opening this door. And he would speak to us through the word. And we'd be praying. Lo and behold, next that in that same year, September 1st, we landed back on Santo. And it was just an incredibly wonderful year. It was a very challenging year in some ways, but the Lord had totally prepared us for it, and he came through and was faithful in all the ways that he's always faithful. And then after that year, we ended up coming back not knowing where we were going to go. And that actually segues a little bit perfectly into something that I had written down to share tonight. But we landed back in Southern Oregon, where we used to live, not knowing what we were going to do. And then Brett had called Tad and just said, hey, there's a house on our church property. You guys can just live in it until you kind of figure out what's going on. And we prayed about it. And we just didn't know. Should we stay in Southern Oregon? Should we move back to Portland? And Tad just really felt like the Lord was saying we should move back to the Portland area. And I, of course, knew that I could trust that. But I went out to morning worship at the church we used to go to in Southern Oregon with a friend of mine. And at the end, I was just praying and saying, Lord, I know that I can trust you. And I know I can trust you to lead me through Tad. But I just kind of like want to know. I mean, this really is the right thing. And it was the sweetest thing, because I looked down, and my Bible just happened to be open. I mean, it was like one of those times when you open your Bible and there's the verse. And it was Deuteronomy 6, 10. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. But when I looked down and read that we would be moving to the large flourishing city, to a house filled with things that we did not provide. And we drove up, and Debbie and a group of gals from the church had gone into the house. It was like the cutest little house. They'd painted it, furnished it. Everything that I needed to run a home was in the house. And it's been that way. There have been times when Tad and I will look around at our furnishings and things we have and think, so that someone gave us that, you know, whether his mom gave it to us or his dad gave it to us or my parents. Almost everything we have is not something that we purchased ourselves. And that's not to say that that's how it is for everyone's life, but that is how the Lord definitely has worked in our life. And that, just that heart full of thanks that we have for him. But that was just fun to share.
Well, I love that so much. So Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. And I just think that that story is just so sweet, because it's a real good example to all of us about how no matter where the Lord is going to take you, just look, actually looking to him to see how, not if, but how is he going to get you through it, or what kind of thing he's going to bring before you, with the premise of understanding that he actually takes delight in you. Because I think that sometimes that's something that has been brought into our hearts a little too much. However, whatever we've seen or how we've been raised or whatever, but it can so get into your mind, maybe even the enemy just throwing those fiery darts in, that it's the opposite. We can think it's the opposite, that the Lord does not take delight in us, when in fact he actually does. So it's so sweet to see that Marna continued to believe, yes, Lord, you do have a design for marriage. And my husband is the lead in this. And yes, Lord, because we're submitted to you and we're walking with you, you are bringing this thing about in our lives. So what was neat for me as a mom was to see the Slaughter kids be raised with that mindset. It rubbed off on my kids. The flexibility, you know, sweet Brooke, who wanted her friend Amy to stay here, and the Lord was not going to have Amy stay here. Do you know where Amy lives right now? Vanuatu. So, you know, Brooke has had to learn, oh my goodness, I have to relinquish those things that I care about. She's had to learn that. But she's seen flexibility in Marna being a mom who had to watch her children fly all the way from way far, far, far away to connecting flights and tiny, they call them puddle jumpers, those little the planes that always crash. I mean, she had to watch her kids do all that and then go all the way to Illinois where it's freezing, polar, literally no pun intended, polar opposite of Vanuatu. But she was without her kids. I also saw Judy, our Titus II model. Her daughter, Melinda, was living in China, and her son, Tad, was living in Vanuatu. Can you believe that? All of her grandchildren were spread out all over the world, and her children. And you know how many times I ever saw Judy complain? How many times? Raise your hand if you think zero. Yes, you're the winner. Zero times I saw Judy complain. And I thought, oh my goodness, I can't believe this is actually the standard. I can't believe it, because she was having such a good attitude about it. But I also thought, again, Judy, in very similar way as Marna, trusting in the Lord with all of her heart and leaning not on her own understanding. In all means all. You guys have heard Brett say it so many times. In the Greek, all means all in the Greek. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So now let's get back to the part when you were in Vanuatu for a tiny amount of time, which I think was Brooks Junior High, right?
Yes. So that was like, so that was a 1 year time. And then we ended up, that's when we ended up coming back here.
Okay. So my prayer for answer, because I was like, we can't do this without having some people, you know? So, oh my goodness. Because Marna's right. I was looking at what was happening in the junior high curriculum and things. And many, many, many people are homeschooling or private school. They're just saying what's happening in public schools is unacceptable. But you know what? Not everyone can do that. And for us, it was, I mean, a private school is a lot. It's, I mean, someday, hopefully we'll have school choice. It's on the ballot. I don't know if it'll pass, but if you haven't voted, make sure you know that that is all taken care of. But if we don't actually try to make changes, then it will never happen. But in my mind, I think, well, even if something like that never makes it to a final ballot for us to have that freedom in our state, you are still given a choice every day in the way that you raise your kids. So for me, what that meant was I was seeing the areas that were coming up short, and we couldn't budget-wise afford public school or private school. Public school was our option. So we had come out of what I called the Disneyland of elementary schools. We really called it that because it was incredible. It was over in Sherwood. It was Archer Glen at the time. And I can't say which schools or what now because names have changed and locations and all of that stuff has changed. But it was a fabulous environment for us to have our kids. It was just shy of a private school. I mean, the only thing that was different was that there wasn't prayer and there wasn't chapel and there wasn't pastoral staff floating through the building. You know what I mean? But there practically was, because so many people there were believers at that time, everyone in attendance, and so many parents were active in what's called a PTA or a PTO, different things like that. And we really did jointly work with the teachers to raise funds to help offset what kids were falling short in budget-wise. And that's something we could never have done, but collectively, because everyone said, sure, do the fun runs and do the whatever and do the school box tops, whatever. They raised so much that we were able to actually fund a physical education teacher for our school and the other elementary school, because the district said, okay, well, that's nice. You guys raised enough money for your PE teacher, but it has to be equitable. And they were going to cut all PE and cut music. And we said, we can't do that. So, I mean, like, these kids have to have music, and they have to be able to, you know, run and have some exercise. So we raised the funds for it and said, okay, we'll pay for all the schools then. That's what we'll do. But do you think little old Debbie did that? No, I did that with a whole huge group of parents. So I guess what I'm saying to you guys is that let the Lord, in your mind, let you think outside the box a little bit, because you do not know what God is going to do for you. You know, we serve the God who knows, but you don't know what he's going to do within you. Just like Marna would never have imagined, oh my goodness, one minute she thought she was going to be here forever, and the next minute, oh, she's off in Vanuatu. But the impact to your involvement in your kids' lives is, it doesn't matter, public school, private school, homeschooling, junior high age, elementary age, whatever it is, the Lord's going to use you, like, dramatically in your kids. So for me, we had gone from that Disneyland, you know, model of elementary school to a junior high that was completely disconnected from any kind of influence of the elementary school. So there's this thing called scope and sequence. It's some of you who are homeschooling follow that. And I know, Marna, I became aware of that when you were homeschooling, because it's the K-12 program, right? So I'm looking at that to see where the gaps are. And I'm looking at the eighth grade year in that particular junior high, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, Brooke's getting ready to go into eighth grade. She's so smart. She is 110% in her grammar. And they're saying they're going to repeat this same curriculum for eighth grade. This is not working for me. I'm going to have to take my daughter out, and we're going to have to do something different. So that was where, because of parents like Angela Shields and then seeing Marna and Vanuatu homeschool their kids, I thought, oh my goodness, I think we can do this. And so we did a part-time thing where I had Brooke in school for eighth grade for math and science and some of the electives, but I pulled her for that social studies piece. And I also pulled her for health because of some of the things that Marna heard me talking to her about. I was not comfortable with the things that were being taught in the eighth grade year. So it was really, really successful as far as Brooke became very stable as far as her, like, a lot of dark stuff is shared in public schools. There just is. There's a lot of dark literature. And I saw her countenance really change in that year. It was really sweet. And I felt like watching her, seeing her become a little shining Brooke again, which is, I knew the gauge on that because I'm the mom. You know the gauge for your kids because you're the mom. I saw her just really get very strong in that year. And she had just enough of the social stuff in the middle school, but come home where it's stable and we're going to actually teach you many things that are going to challenge your mind because she's a smart one, you know. So that was our experience. We ended up modeling that same, and I'm talking about the education thing because it's so foundational and it will segue to the high school piece, which we're going to talk in just a minute about. But each one of you have to pray about how it is you're going to go about making sure you're meeting the emotional needs for your kids, the social needs for your kids, the spiritual needs for your kids. And those are real things. They're all very real things. Some of you have gone through times of seeing your kids, some of the older moms here have seen your kids go through very, very stressful situations, really mental, very stressful situations. And we just want to come alongside those younger moms and say, yes, we want to help you do whatever you can to build up your kids and cause them to be strong so that they can be healthy emotionally and physically and spiritually. And so sometimes that's going to mean that you pull your kids. Sometimes that's going to mean you leave and go down to the South Pacific, you know? So, or I'm saying that not for real, but I'm saying, let's just throw it out there, or China or whatever. It just depends on where the Lord's leading you, but don't be afraid because it's the Lord leading you. And he will, what does he promise in Psalm 23? He's the good shepherd and he's going to lead you into green pastures. And so just keep on thinking about the promises of God, the things he does say he's going to come through on for you. And then when you do face those difficulties, he will give you an answer. He just will. For me, it was to get more active. It was to get more involved because I saw the clash of our, you know, sweet Bible, the Word of God, I saw the clash between that, taking that in your heart and asking your kids to walk with Jesus every day, and then asking them to go into a public school where there were parents who were the opposite and didn't want to have anything to do with that. And that is what public school is. That it just is. It's supposed to be something that is set for everyone. So if you can't be comfortable in that, then you do need to think about other options, you know? And that's why I'm so thankful now that it's getting better as far as co-op and people are figuring out ways. I mean, really, COVID did us a lot of good things in terms of helping us get really creative with how we educate, right? Because your kids were literally stopped from going to school. So it forced you, you are the age group that was really forced to truly think, all right, how are we gonna get through this, you know? And I think that's why a lot of parents ended up saying, my goodness, we can actually do this, and it can be something that's very, very functional and can work super, super well. So that's the education piece for junior high. Education piece for high school. Actually, let's go back to junior high. At this point, I have to say for junior high, public school, because people do ask me, I believe that right now in Oregon, maybe not in Texas, maybe not in Tennessee, but in Oregon, if you are not physically in the classroom, and physically able, and I mean literally get the books and take pictures of the books, if you're not able to actually look at the curriculum that is being taught, you do need to really, really ask the Lord, is your child in the right place? If you cannot be there, because it would be hard enough even if you were there to navigate through things, but the things that teachers are being asked to teach, if you don't have a good relationship with that teacher, if that teacher is not a believer, if that teacher is not seeing through all of the requirements that are being talked about, and I'm saying this, it probably sounds like I'm talking in code, but it's because I want this to last online. I want people to understand, so I don't want to say the buzzwords that are going to make this get stricken, you know? I'm just saying, when you navigate through standards that are being brought from the top down administratively, things that you shouldn't even have to think about as a parent, but things that you are having to think about because it's your kids, you know, and it's literally hellish things that are happening in some cases. I don't want to throw, obviously, all teachers under the bus. My daughter's a teacher, and she's successfully navigating through all that stuff, you know. So get to the teachers, encourage the teachers, get to know them, get to know where they're at, ask if you can volunteer in the classroom. I know for our daughter, I mean, their school is desperate for volunteers. They have kids that are 5 years behind in their education. If only one parent would come once or twice a week and sit with the child and let them read for an hour, we're not worrying about all the yucky stuff that the state wants. We just want kids to read, you know, for fifth grade. The stats on a fifth grader that can't read when they go into junior high, the statistical evidence shows that those kids will never get past the fifth grade level in any subject, ever. So the gravity of it is, if you're lucky enough to homeschool, if you're in public school and that's what you're doing, if you're private school, volunteer. And, you know, just see what God would have you do, because there's just not enough people, you know. The Lord says the field is ready for harvest, but the laborers are few. I cannot even tell you how much that is so true in the public schools, you know. There's kids that are really forsaken, and there's just lost people raising lost kids, going into a system that is lost. And you are a light, and Jesus says you are the lights of the world, you know. And I think the days of us thinking, oh, we can just randomly toss our children and they'll be lights in the public school. Forget it. Like, forget that. Because we cannot put our kids into a public school situation and ask them to burn their light and survive. You know, there's too much air in the room. I'm just saying, the candle's going to go out, you know. It's your job to parent. So that's my view. It's more of a radical view, probably, compared to what maybe 20 years ago we would have thought. Although 20 years ago, I was actually saying this. So, yeah. You know, to me, though, the number one thing is get your arms around your kids, get that monitor on, you know, your mommy monitor, and pray and ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have for this child in this moment for this year? And, you know, in Marna's case, they were gone for some of that time. And in our case, we partly, you know, removed them and partly didn't and did public school. So that's the school piece. When you get to high school, boy, there's options. I think for this section, what I probably would refer you back to is Mom Time had a back to school night in August of 2023, maybe 2022, but it's called Back to School and you can find it on AP Women. And I would actually maybe watch that whole thing because that is a really good sequence of speakers that will actually help you to kind of navigate through what's going on as far as school, what your options are, because on that level, nothing's changed. The only thing that I would say to you, and you know, I'm not saying be an activist, but I'm saying you kind of have to be, you know. Just by coming to church, you're going against the flow of culture right now. So just by praying with your kids, you are being an activist, you know. I mean, so that's such a buzzword and it's so negative, but actually, no, you're being a witness. You know, you're being a testimony. So it's the verbiage. Don't let it be something that's very negative. Just ask the Lord, how would you have me be a witness in this world? You have called me to be a light, go and make disciples. I have my little ones, and now they're getting bigger, and they're in junior high, and I want them to walk with you. It's still my job to try to make disciples. So what does that look like at the junior high age? What does that look like at the high school age? You know? So we were fortunate enough that when the Slaughters came back, which didn't Amy, I'm trying to think because we used to have a thing called prom grenade that was at, I know it sounds very violent. it was in lieu of the prom. So it was just called that for a little while. But Amy came back from Vanuatu and went. So was she a sophomore or a junior or what was the age there?
When we came back, she went to Athey Creek Middle School for 8th grade and Mosville High School for 9th grade.
Okay.
And then we were back in Vanuatu. But maybe one of our visits back, she joined the group. I think that might be the case.
Okay, yeah. So it just was really fun to watch your kids. So in high school, this is really good for the parents to know. So you ended up, because of homeschooling, in order for your kids, Tad and you learned that it would actually be better for the kids not to get a degree, but to actually go and test for the SAT, right?
So
for
this colleges. I've been so thankful for my sister-in-law, Melinda, who researches things, and she shares them with me, because I was thinking they would have to come back and get their GED, and she said, no, all the colleges or whatever, you know, people were telling her and that she knew, if you homeschool, just take the SAT and get the SAT score, and that'll be good. They don't always necessarily, the GED isn't as much as important as getting the SAT score. So we did, because we went back, because we were here in 2004 and then 2006, and we ended up going back to Vanuatu, and then we were there until 2011. And so all of our kids, both Joel and Amy, finished up their high school with homeschooling, and then when we came back in 2011, John was halfway through high school, and we kept thinking we were going to go back in 6 months, so we didn't put him in school. So then he finished up homeschooling here, too.
But when you had him take the SAT, didn't you have to go to New Zealand or something like that?
So, you know, lucky me. I got to take Joel to Auckland, New Zealand, because it was either that or Brisbane, Australia. And so we went to Auckland, and he took the SAT, and we had a little bit of fun. It was really funny because we'd been on Santo for maybe like 2 years at that point, which was...
So tell everyone what Santo is.
So Santo is the island that we live on in Vanuatu, and we love it there very, very much. But when you land in the city and you see McDonald's, we were so excited. So we did that, went up the Sky Tower, you know, it was just really fun. And then 2 years later, I got to do the same trip with Amy. And then Amy obliged me and got a very bad ear infection. So we had to cancel our flight. She couldn't fly. So we got 3 extra days in Auckland. So we just went around and had so much fun.
That's so cool.
So with the two of them, but that's kind of like, it's like a one and done. You've got to do well on the test because you get one chance. Thankfully, when John took it, we lived here. And, well, he was one and done too because it went fine.
Uh-huh. But in terms of just education, you didn't worry about that. You were like, it's going to work out. The Lord's going to cover it.
Well, I did a lot of praying because there is, I think I did, because you know, you just need the Lord's comfort. I never was, when Joel was little, and a lot of moms were talking about how they were going to homeschool, I was the one saying, there are people who go to college for that. He needs an education. I like to have fun. So I think we would be having fun, and he wouldn't learn anything if I'm his teacher. So we did send him to school, and then when we went to Vanuatu the first time, he was in second grade. We had no choice, and they had to homeschool. And what I could not believe is how much I loved it. I absolutely loved it. We had books to read. I loved knowing where he was educationally, and it was just fun to teach him. Although one of the stories that he loves to tell is that in second grade, I was trying to figure out, because they do math differently than how I taught, so I was trying to figure it out, and he just said, you know, Mom, I think that maybe you're just supposed to do it like this. That happened more than once. The math was never my subject. But all that to say, our times in Vanuatu when we did homeschool, I actually totally loved it. And thankfully, the kids did really well with it, too.
Did you ever have, these are questions that have come up, actually. How involved was Tad in discipline for your kids over the years in Vanuatu or here?
Or here. So, like, in the early years, I'm the one who actually carried it out the most, just because he was gone, as you know, because that was for your family too. But he was always very involved. Like I always communicated with him. We stayed in the loop. We always wanted to be on the same page. So he was always very involved, even though maybe I carried it out more when they were little. But then when it came to junior high and high school years, we kind of just fell into this pattern that if there was an attitude that cropped up or someone who was consistently not getting their required jobs or chores done, he would allow me to try the gentle approach first and talk to them and reason with them about why we need to do these things. And then if it wasn't working, which very often it didn't, then he would come in and give the strong approach. Say, get your work done, you know, or you're going to get more, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
But that kind of just became our pattern. He'd let me try the nice way, but then, and sometimes that would be all it took, is just talking to them. But often when it was something where there was a little stronger trait that needed taking care of.
Yeah. The reason why I ask is because it has come up. Some of the moms are a little concerned, you know, what do we do if our husband is not necessarily on board or involved in the discipline process? And I think it's just not maybe your favorite, but sometimes you just have to step in and get it done, you know. To Marna's point, Tad was really busy, and so they communicated what the plan should be, and then she would carry it out, you know. So to that person who, because we had a couple questions like this right in, I would just say, ask your husband if he wants to participate in the discipline process, and if he kind of, no, it's up to you, then you do what you know needs to be done. You know, and then we talked about this a little bit last week, but you know, there is a time sometimes where you may want to go and make a phone call, talk with Judy, get some Titus II help within your home. You know, at some point, just always be praying about the timing of when you would talk to your husband about these things. And you know, I think you'd be surprised if you help yourself to communicate in a way that's not threatening, that's okay with his style of being concise, being, you know, maybe his tactic is not the gentle approach the way you would want, but if you let him be him and his guard comes down, I think you'd be shocked at how far you can get with actually having him on board with discipline much more than what you're giving him credit for, you know, without being super direct. But sometimes there are, you know, you are responsible before the Lord for the way you behave, you know. So in that, what is it you know? Well, we know because we talked about Deuteronomy 30 verses 19 and 20 in the very beginning of the Mom Time studies. But this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So how does that apply to you having high schoolers? Well, and let's say you're brand new at this. Say you, oh, this is your first mom time, and you're like, what in the world is going on? There's something, like, discipline, we're supposed to actually apply this. But I think you can hear in the tone of the conversation is that it's much less about your reaction to what do we do about all of the behavioral things. It's much more about our response to the Lord and reminding ourselves we do need to trust in the Lord. We're going to commit our way to Him. We're going to watch Him bring it to pass. He literally is calling us to choose Him. And so as you raise your kids, the challenge for you, and I know it's almost awkward to, you know, end with this because we'll have next week to come and talk more, but we want to get you to your groups to be able to have that time and pray. But it's less about all the expectations of behavior, and it's more about focusing on what the Lord wants you to choose. And He wants you to choose Him. And when you choose Him, that then is going to help you have a whole lot of actions that you will be excited to say, okay, oh, well, in choosing the Lord, we get to do this and this and this and this. And that's when it becomes exciting. And that's when you're refreshed because you're walking in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit really is going to lead you and guide you and direct you into all truth, you know. And it just is way less about how perfect your kids can be. It's just not that, because none of us are perfect. Our kids are not, we are not, our husbands are not, but it is much, much more focused and should be centered around the person of Jesus and the fact that He's our Savior and that He's come to rescue us and save us from hell, you know? And when your kids catch that, that makes their junior high look very, very different. It makes high school look completely different. You know, and in those times, and we can leave with this, and then you know, we'll visit some of these things next week and in the very last session that we have. But you know, there's going to be times when you are not sure if your kids are going to make the right choice, and sometimes they might not make the right choice. Sometimes they will not make the choose life choice. Sometimes they will go through a season of real darkness. There is that sometimes. But what is so sweet about walking with the Lord is, what does Proverbs say? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So that's our challenge, is to train. Because you know what happens? They will then get to the age of junior high and high school, and they will know the difference. They will know, whoa, this is not right. What I am actually being tempted by is actually a temptation. They will understand that. Now, it's their decision to choose life or not in that moment, but they will know. They will know, and you're helping them to develop that taste for life, you know. And my prayer for my kids at that time, it was, Lord, you know my heart, and you know this child. You know right where that child is, he or she, and you know exactly what they need. So whatever it is, whatever that, you could just fill in the blank, whatever your situation is, if there is a decision being made right now, would you make that kiddo be so miserable in that decision that he or she will not want anything but you, that they will have to get out of that situation and come to you? And that sounds like a severe prayer, but I know that the Lord loves my kids enough that I could trust Him with that kind of a prayer. Because there's so much that I couldn't control, and but I knew the power of the Holy Spirit to direct. Because as a wife, and we talked about this in the first couple of sessions too, you know, as a wife, you all are experiencing this. You know, you have to trust the Lord when you submit to your husband. You have to trust the Lord that your husband, he may or may not lead well, right? He may or may not make the right choice. But it is your job to show respect and to submit to his leadership in your home. It's your job to do that. It's not your job to fix your husband or to change him. Well, when you get your kids into this junior high and high school age, it's almost the same scenario. You realize, oh my goodness, really all my work that I've done was pretty much 0 to 5, you know? And then 5 to 10 is this other segment that's reinforcing the 0 to 5. And now junior high to high school, it's more about watching them fly. And they will fall sometimes, you know? But you are there to be the encourager and to remind them of, you know what? The Lord takes delight in you. The Lord loves you. Yes, this thing was not the wise choice. And yes, this thing, if not corrected, could lead to a very bad place. But you as a mom, me as a mom, we have to rely on the tenderness and mercy of God and his graciousness and the fact that he does delight in us and he wants us to be in communication with him, whether or not the circumstances in your life change, you know, whether or not something happens with the outcome of your child. Does that make sense? I hope it does. So this is just part A. We'll get to part B next week. And we're going to pray and then we'll dismiss for the circles. Thank you so much. Lord, I just thank you that you love us, that you do challenge us to trust in you with all of our heart. And Lord, I thank you that you are a God who is worthy of trust. I thank you that we can look to you and your character to get us through all of the situations in our life, no matter what, Lord. With little or with plenty, with sickness or with great, great health, Lord, we know that we can trust you. And we thank you that you do delight in us, Lord. We thank you that you do give us the option to choose life in our life. And so I just pray for these moms that in their hearts, that they would choose life this evening, that they would choose you, Lord. You said you're the way, the truth, and the life. And I pray, Lord, that we would choose you in every situation and give these moms strength and give them courage as they go against the culture and as they raise their children to honor you, Lord. And I pray that you would bless them and bless these prayer circles now in Jesus' name. Amen.